Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark and comes from Corinthians as well. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked of him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord of our God and the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well," said teacher, the man replied, "you are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. 2 Corinthians says, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we will try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are, quote, out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him, and who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteous of God.
Edit that out of the sound recording. I thoroughly enjoy going to the fair. When I was a kid, we went to the Renfrew County Fair, and it was an awful lot like the Norfolk County Fair. Very similar, drew people from all over the county. There was always fun to be had, and good food, and lots and lots and lots of people. I find that too when I go to our fair. Every year we see, you can't walk 10 feet down the place without seeing somebody that you know. And it feels like hundreds of people that you don't know at all. There's all kinds of people and neighbors there to be seen. Now, I'm a bit of an introvert. And people don't always realize that when I'm up front talking. But it means that when I spend time with lots of people, I need to recharge later. And so when I'm in a place like the fair, when there's people all around, I've found some ways of taking care of myself in the midst of that. And one of those is that I watch people. I watch people, and it almost feels like a wave of people going by and through. And I can kind of be myself in the midst of that as I see all of these people, faces, big, tall people, grown-up people, little people, teenage people, and all of them people that God loves, neighbors from here in our community. These days when I go, I'm also very, very focused on the three little people that I'm trying to keep safe and keep track of. When I don't have my kids there with me, it's easier to kind of sit back and watch and remember that each of those people in that great big crowd pressing all around me is someone with their own hopes and dreams, their own story, their own hurts, their own fears. Each of them is a neighbor that God loves powerfully and has gone to the end of the world and back because God wants them in his family. People, neighbors, God's love. The church, our church, every church, God's big church, is called to love God and to love one another and to love our neighbor as ourself. That's what Jesus summed it all up as when he was talking to the scribe in the story. What's the greatest commandment? Well, it's to love God with everything you've got and everything you are. What's the next most important? To love your neighbor as yourself. But the real question is how? How do we love our neighbor as ourselves? What does that look like? And there's all kinds of answers to that question. And we're going to spend a few weeks in November talking about a bunch of really practical ways that we can love our neighbors as ourselves and serve and bless the people around us. But there's one way that we love our neighbors that comes up in the passage from 2 Corinthians that Beth read for us. And it's called the ministry of reconciliation. And there should be lots of, like, what on earth is that? And what does it have to do with neighbors? So I want to back up to what's most important, always and ever. I want to back up to Jesus' love for us, to God's love for his children. It's been many years since I've told the story that Max Lucado told in one of his books about a father who had a number of sons. And the father lived near the source of a big river, and he warned his sons again and again not to go in or near the river, that the current was too strong and they would be washed away, and for their own safety, to stay away from the river. But some of the sons were playing near the river one day, and one said, "I'll just stick my foot in." And another said, "Okay, let's see what happens." And before long, all of those kids that had been playing in the river, young men really, they all had gotten thought that they could get in safely and have a bit of a swim, and they were all carried away by the current, far down the river, into a faraway land. And when they managed to get themselves out of the river, they were somewhere they didn't recognize, in a place they did not know. And the forests were too thick on the sides of the river. They couldn't get home by walking. And the river current was too strong. They couldn't get home up the river. And they had no way back to their father. And some of them felt like even if they could get back, the father would never forgive them for what they had done. And others thought, maybe we'll be fine here. Well, maybe we never needed the father after all. And some thought, maybe if we could just work hard enough, we could work our way home. But all of them were trapped, stuck, lost. And so the father who loved his children sent his oldest son to go and travel down the river because the son was the only one who was strong enough. And the son took the dangerous journey down the river and he found the youngest brothers and he pleaded with them, "Come with me, climb on my back, and I will take you home. and I will take you to the Father, because the Father loves you. And some of the children, some of those young men wouldn't come. One thought the father would never forgive him. Another thought he was just fine the way he was. But finally, one of those sons climbed on the older brother's back. And the older brother carried him up the river against the current, all the way home, back to the father, into the father's arms. And that young son and his father were reconciled. And he said, "I am sorry, Father." And his father said, "I forgive you. I love you. You are my child." Jesus Christ reconciles us to God the Father. He makes right every mistake we've ever made, every sin we've ever sinned. He goes into the darkness to find us. He carries us back to God when we could never do it on our own. He saves us from everything outside of us and everything inside of us, because God the Father loves us. And Jesus Christ loves us. This is the incredible, marvelous love of God, who reconciles us to himself through his Son. Jesus died for us, and so it's like we died too. Jesus came back to life, and so we come back to life. But we don't live for ourselves anymore, says Paul. We live for him, for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And Paul says that when that happens, the old is gone. And look, everything's made new. We're changed, transformed from the inside out. We aren't the old person anymore. We are God's loved child. And it's incredible. And it doesn't stop there. Paul says, all of that happens, and then Christ's love does something else. Christ's love compels us. Christ's love breathes into us and pushes us out because of our love for God. God loved us so much. We love him in return. And what happens inside of us is that we get changed into people who want to love God. And the way that we love God is by loving other lost, hurting people who have tumbled down the river so far that they can never make their way back home. Reconciliation. It's like standing there and saying, God loves me and I love God. And then saying to your neighbor, God loves you and I love you. Reconciliation is Jesus-shaped. Reconciliation is cross-shaped. As we take someone's hand and say, God loves you, and help them to put their hand in Jesus' hand. God invites us to be like Jesus. In fact, Paul says that he has given us this ministry of reconciliation, this message about Jesus that helps bring our neighbors into God's love. And Paul says that means you are an ambassador. You see, once upon a time, there was no such thing as Twitter. And if the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Canada wanted to tell the world something important, they couldn't just pick up their smartphone to do that. In fact, once upon a time, you couldn't call a news conference. and have major broadcasters from every network there to listen to the important things you needed to say. Once upon a time, if a king had a message that needed to go out to every corner of the domain, the king needed messengers. The king needed ambassadors. We still have ambassadors in our world today. People who go and represent our country in other places. And an ambassador is somebody who goes with a mission. Someone who goes with a purpose to represent their king or their country to these other people. An ambassador is somebody who goes with a message. A message that they're supposed to deliver. An ambassador is a representative. Somebody who goes, and when the ambassador of Canada stands in another country or in the United Nations, that person represents Canada in that place. You are Christ's ambassadors, God's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. That's what Paul says about himself. That's what Paul says about us. God has this incredible message of love and a message of salvation. A message that says God the Father loves you. God the Son dies for you. God the Spirit lives in you so you can live. And do you know who he chooses to take that message? To be an ambassador for Canada, you have to have a degree and special things, and hundreds and thousands of people apply for the job, and only one or two people get it. You know, just the elite of the elite. Do you know who God sends as his ambassadors? Is it fancy people with super high education? Is it rich people who can afford to fly around the world? Is it popular people who are on TV all the time? No. You. Me. You are Christ's ambassadors, as though God is making his appeal through us. Christ's love compels us going into our world, going to our neighbors, representing Jesus on God's mission with God's message. And the message is, be reconciled to God because Jesus Christ died for you and God the Father loves you. We implore you on God's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's how we love our neighbors. Because when it comes down to it, more than anything else, what all those people wandering around the fair need isn't another trip to get apple cider donuts or another ride on the Ferris wheel. It's a relationship with the God who loved them and saved them. And so we have people, our neighbors, our family members, who are there at a booth like Kids Quest, telling a Bible story to children, providing one of the only free rides that they'll find at that entire fair as they go on that bouncy castle and hear a message of God's love for them and get their face painted and get handed a little package with a toy and a message of hope and love. And if they so choose, a Bible to take care of home with them. Faithful Christians loving their neighbors at the fair. Some of us were there yesterday at the women's event, and we heard a woman speak who was a police officer for many years. Now she's a chaplain. And she has a beautiful dog that she takes to visit seniors and people who are dying and people whose hearts are broken. She was telling me that one day she was visiting with a lady in a hospital room. She sat there and she spoke of God's love, but mostly she just sat and she listened and she was present. And Shebang the dog was there showing love, and she prayed for the woman. And before she was about to go, when the woman burst into tears and says, "If I die, you're going to heaven, but I won't be." And so right then and there, she took the time to share God's love. And that woman prayed and opened her heart to God's love. And in that moment, the old was gone. Behold, the new had come. And that woman was a child of God. And a week later, when she died, she entered God's home and God's loving embrace. Loving our neighbors that way doesn't have to be complicated. It's being who you are in the places where God puts you. It's representing Jesus by living with truth and integrity and love. It's being on God's mission by praying for the people that you see and recognizing God's heart for them. It's sharing God's message when the time is right with a "God loves you," and then "I'll be praying for you." It's not complicated, but it is powerful. And it's possible because God loves us so much, because Jesus Christ died for us, because the Holy Spirit is in us to help us. It's loving our neighbors enough to introduce them to the one who loves them more than anyone else. That's one of the most important things it means to love our neighbors. Let's pray together. God, you love us in such incredible ways that it's hard to fathom. And you love the people around us too. Whether it's the people we'll see at the fair, the people we'll see in the grocery store or at the seniors' home, the folks in our families, and maybe even in our own homes. You love us in such incredible, powerful ways. Father, it's a little intimidating to hear that you've made us your ambassadors, pleading to people on your behalf, imploring them to be reconciled to you. But we know that we're not alone. Help us to share the love that you have given us so that our neighbors can know and experience that love as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.